Luke chapter 24. Before I get started, I'll tell you a story about my two little girls when they was little. They're 48 and 45 now, years old, and I have five grandkids, two great-grandkids, and so I'm going pretty good on these kids things. I like kids, amen? I like children. And my girls was about 7 and 9, and they had a heathen for a dad. Dad wasn't saved. They'd gone to church and got saved through the bus ministry, took my two little girls and my wife to Sunday school, and they got saved, and they prayed for me for 9 months before I received Christ as my Savior. And here's how they did it, and some of you have dads and moms that's not saved. I'll give you some hints, okay, on how to work on them and get them saved. This really worked for me, okay? My girls, they would come home, and the Sunday school teachers and church in New London, Ohio, where I got saved, First Baptist Church, they was praying for me. They was burdened for me to be saved. They was praying for me. And the Sunday school teachers would send little pamphlets home through my daughters, through the Sunday school, and it would have the Word of God printed in there, have verses in there. And what they had told my daughters, I found out later, was to sometime during the week, now get Dad and get up on his knee and have Dad read that to you. I thought they was pretty smart Sunday school teachers, don't you think? Hey, smart Sunday school teachers has ways and methods of leading people to Christ through their kids and teaching them how to be soul winners. Amen? And my two little girls came home that week. Every week they get me up on my knee and have me read their little Sunday school lessons that they got in Sunday school that week before. And all of a sudden, I was 29 years old, never been convicted of sin in my whole life. And the Word of God, I was riding home from work, and the conviction started coming into my life of my sin. I didn't know what was happening, but it was through that Word of God that I read in those little Sunday school pamphlets. And I did that for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden I'd lay in bed at night, look up and towards the ceiling and into heaven, and say, you know, if there is a God in heaven, I'd want to go to heaven. I wouldn't want to go to hell, amen, the alternative, right? I wouldn't want to go there. So I started being convicted of my sin, and all of a sudden, through some circumstances, one of my daughters, I promised her I'd go to church with her one Sunday. Never been to church. Even when my family got baptized, I didn't go to church with them. I was a heathen. I was lost. But I went to church convicted of my sin. I went to church to get saved. You see, kids, moms and dads might not be saved, but what you do and how you do it can help them maybe to be saved. Because I went to church, and that Sunday, the first Sunday I was ever in church, I received Christ as my Savior. That's 39 years ago, and been serving God ever since. He changed my life. He came into my life, forgave me my sins, saved my wicked soul from hell. And man, if I was to die today, I'm so happy I'd go to heaven. So think about it. If your dads and moms are lost, you know, don't just put your dads and mom down. Start taking some little literature home, maybe with the Word of God in it, some Sunday school literature, and take it home and have moms and dads read it to you. Maybe they'll be convicted of their sin like I was and receive Christ as their Savior. Amen. We can work together in the church. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's working together to bring people to Christ. And He's the answer, not us. Amen. I'm sure glad the world's not dependent on me, because I would fail them. And probably you would too. But Jesus won't. Amen? He is all the world needs. He is exactly what the world needs, just like Brother Ziner said. For God so loved the world. I tell you how bad I am. I'm 68. My mind's sort of getting a little bad sometimes. I was doing my granddaughter's wedding, and I started to quote John 3:16, and I missed it. I put John 3:16 the first half and Romans 5:12 in the second half. I don't know. They didn't belong there. It was not quoted properly. I'm telling you, we can do that sometimes. Even though we've read the Word of God, memorized the Word of God, know the Word, it can happen. But the Word of God is so important. I tell you, how did you like those little kids up here? Did you notice they was real kids? They fighting over the mics? Did you notice that? Those three boys, they was fighting over the mics to find out. You know what? They're real people. Did you notice that? They're real people. Sing wonderfully and going to a country that needs Jesus. Amen? I tell you, there's a need in Uganda. I might go there this summer and help a missionary put a roof on his house this summer. And I just like to go there and see and minister to some people if the Lord would allow me to do that. It'd be wonderful. Luke 24, please. And the Word of God, let's start reading in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. Did you notice that? They expounded to them the scriptures and what? About himself, Jesus there, okay? And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with me, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now go over to verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the word of God. I ask that you bless it to our hearts tonight and we'll thank you for it. Thank you for what we've heard, the singing, dear God. Thank you for the testimonies through the missionaries. Bless them. Thank you for the flags that went around the auditorium representing the nations. And Lord, we just thank you for all that's been done tonight. We thank you for it. Ask that you bless us tonight as we serve thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I found out something. You folks stand when you read the Word of God, don't you? Okay, I'll have you do that from now on. I'm sorry about that. You can be seated. Thank you very much. And that's good that you did that. I appreciate it very much. And Jesus here is about to launch the greatest campaign ever launched in the world. And it is what we're going to talk about this week. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission. He said to all nations over in 50, some there, the verse, he said it was to all nations. Jesus is telling the disciples, the two, and they went and told the others about him and what he had done. He went to the cross. He died. He ate with them. And then after a while in Acts 1, and we won't go there tonight. We won't have time. But the thing that is, he broke bread with them. He ate. And then also he empowered them, didn't he, for the gospel. But the first thing he did to motivate these missionaries was this. He said, the scriptures is to all nations, to all the world. God said, go into all the world, amen, and preach the gospel to every creature. He commands us to do it. So the greatest campaign launched was with Jesus, and it was the Great Commission. And the thing of it is, He said, go into all the world. That's where we're to go. That's the place we're to go to, everywhere. But where do we start? We start at home, don't we? One. We start on one. You gave me money, sent me to Australia, right? What did you send me there to do? To win people to Christ, right? And start churches, is that right? That's what you sent me there to do. That's what we did. And folks, I met some of the meanest people in the world in Australia. They're some of the mean people. But let me ask you something. Just because they was mean, should we just forget them? I was preaching downtown Brisbane, 2 million people, and the police gives you a little tag stating that you can preach on this corner and nobody can bother you on that corner. You have freedom to preach there as long as you want to on that one corner and nobody's to bother you. That's an order by the police. They give you a little ticket. And I'm preaching on the corner every Friday night and Saturday night, same corner. I have a little ticket to preach there. And on the other corner, there was a hot dog salesman. His name was John. And they called him Big John. And Big John said, since I came and was preaching on the corner, his business got bad. He would come by, he would kick you on the shins. I mean, you think Brother Springer's tall? He was a big man, a lot bigger and taller than Brother Springer. And I didn't say much to him. He would spit on you as he would go by. I mean, I'm just trying to be smart, right? And I'll tell you what, I didn't like Big John. And this went on for weeks and weeks. And all of a sudden, one night in bed, the Lord said to me, all He said was, this came to me, it was not audible. What about Big John? That's all He said. What about Big John? Man, I said, I don't like Big John. Well, what would you have said? He kicked me? He spit on me? Would you have said, oh, I love him. He's a great guy. I don't think you would have. But let me tell you something. The next week, God came to me again and said, I said, what about Big John? Well, the second time, you're going to get a little bit serious, amen? And I didn't say I don't like Big John. This time I said, I'll pray about it. Isn't that right? We'll pray about it. We're not ready to do anything yet. I said, I'll pray. I started praying for Big John. And then the next week, I started checking into Big John's background, and I found out he liked to fish. He liked to fish. And I went over to Big John's booth. He was selling these hot dogs. And I said, hey, John, I heard that you like to fish. He said, I do. I said, I'm going reef fishing this Saturday. $75, I'll pay your way. Why don't you come and go with me? I mean, I'm getting in with this. $75 for this guy I don't like. So I paid. He came. We went fishing. I tell you what, when I got home, every bone in my body ached because every word that guy said was a cuss word. There wasn't a clean word came out of his mouth the whole day. I'm aching from hurting from hearing this. And so that was the first week. I thought, well, I've done my duty, right? The Lord asked me to. I took him fishing. He's a jerk. That's it. Plain and simple. I'm done. I prayed for him and I quit. Next week, Lord said, hey, what about Big John? I said, Lord, I don't like that guy. He said, what about Big John? Hey, he had to break my heart. What about the guy down the street that you don't like? What about your neighbor? What about that other person that you don't like? Sometimes the meanest guys is the one that God wants you to witness to, and you were just big chickens. And so I prayed again, and the Lord said, take him fishing again. Man, that's $150. I took him fishing again. When we came back home that Saturday afternoon, I said, John, that's all I said. I said, you owe me one. He said, what do you mean? I said, you owe me one service in church. One service. I said, I've taken you fishing. You owe me one service in church. And guess what? To my amaze, Sunday night, who came bopping in? It was Big John. And here's the thing, people. You know those mean people that we don't like? They might be the one that God wants to save. And you know what? We just haven't got our heart right, and we're not ready or spiritual enough to witness to them. And you know what? Big John came that Sunday night. He not only came that Sunday night, he came back four more Sunday nights. And the fifth Sunday night, he came down the aisle and got on his face just bawling and received Christ as his Savior. Now, what did I say he was? A hot dog salesman? That next Saturday, we had a barbecue, and guess who showed up? The first person on the property. Big John with his apron on. It was half as big as Brisbane. He cooked for everyone in church. Every person, 1 week he'd been saved. 1 week. Hey, you send me over there to witness and build churches, amen? Not to be a big chicken, right? Sometimes we... How many people are you scared of? How many mean people do you know that the Lord might want you to witness to? And, you know, we just let it go because of our own attitude. It happens all the time. All the time. I'll tell you one more about that one. Craig Baker, I had with four beautiful boys like these over here, Brother Mossy's sons. Beautiful boys. He had an alcoholic dad. They came to our church. He prayed for his dad to be saved. I'd gone and visited his dad 3 or 4 times. He was an alcoholic. He didn't want to hear it. I'd go anyway and visit his dad. One day, 2:30 in the morning, I got a call from Craig Baker. 2 hours he drove to church every Sunday, this guy did, with his little kids and his wife. 2:30 in the morning, he said, my dad's dying, Pastor. He said, would you please go visit him? 2:30 in the morning. He's all the way across town, almost an hour away. The hospital's closed down there at night. You can't get in. Now, I'm such a spiritual preacher, right? I get in my car. I complain all the way over to the hospital. Well, I know I can't get in. I know I can't do this. I know the hospital's not open. I know, you know what? We don't know too much. We think we do. We just don't trust God enough. Amen? And I ask God, you know what? To take care of this thing, I went over there, drove up to the hospital, front door, parked my car. This is the hospital. You can't get in. There, what just happened to be, right? a maintenance man right inside the door. A maintenance man. Just happened, right? No, it's the Lord showing me that I don't know as much as I think I do. And He knows it all. And I knocked on the door, and that maintenance man come, and he said, "Well, I don't suppose to let you in, but said something just prompts me to let you in." I told him the story about Craig's dad's dying, and he wanted me to witness to him, talk to him about the Lord, and I wanted to get in. Now, if you was in Australia and you know the nurses there, you're not going to get past the nurse station. Right? Well, that's what I thought. I went up, nobody at the nurse's station. He'd give me the number, room number. I went down to the room. There was even a nurse came down as I was getting to the room, and she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Craig Baker goes to my church, and his dad is in this room, and he told me to come here and tell him about Jesus, that he was dying." This lady, "Oh, that's okay." I went in. This is that alcoholic that had turned the Christ down many times. He got to the point he didn't even want me to come to his house. He's ready to die. And you know what? He received Christ as his Savior. He died at 7 o'clock that morning. You know, sometimes, are we really wanting God to use us, or are we just looking for excuses for God not to use us? You know what I'm saying? We use all kinds of excuses. And there are certain times in people's life that's around you that is more prominent than others for you to witness to. My dad was an alcoholic for 30-some years, an adulterer for 30 years of our life, as our family, you could figure what our family was like. And when I got saved, I witnessed to my dad hundreds of times. But when my dad was 56 years old, guess what? He had a heart attack. He had a heart attack. And he went to the hospital, had 4 bypasses. He got out in a couple of weeks. He was at home. We was having a revival in our church. I'd been there and asked him hundreds of times. And I went in and I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "we're having a revival at church this week. Do you think you could go with me?" And I almost fell on the floor. You know, we don't have much faith sometimes. He said, "Yes." And I almost passed out. Do we have faith or do we not have faith? You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't have much faith. We think we have faith. It's not much faith. And he went to church with me, and guess what? Sure, you know he got saved that night at church. And 15 years of a great dad in our lives as kids that had been an adulterer, a mess of a dad for 30-some years. And the last 15 years, he died at 70. This was 56. You saw him working on the church, putting on siding on the church. He'd build and remodel the inside of the church. When you saw Dad, you'd see him at church serving the Lord. The last 15 became a great dad. Why? Because of Jesus. The Jesus that launched this campaign of the Great Commission that wants us to witness and win people to Christ because of Christ and the gospel. The Word of God burns in their heart. The Word of God gets into people's lives. And listen, folks, when something comes in, your neighbor has a trauma or a tragedy in their life, things might have changed. Go witness to them again. Amen? Go witness to them. Hey, start at home. Start at home. Think about your neighbors and the things that happens in people's lives. It changes things in their lives. And they're ready for the gospel. Why? Because Jesus is working and you're praying and He prepares their heart, doesn't He? He, like He did mine to get saved, He prepares their heart for the gospel. And they get saved and they're people that you just know won't get saved. They're the mean guys. But God might have them ready to be saved. And in verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? In verse 45, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. This is a spiritual book right here. And only the Spirit of God can empower us. And just down underneath the word that words I just read was that God empowered them from on high. He said, stay here in Jerusalem until you, what? Receive power. Well, we can't do anything without the power of God. I mean, I'm a simple hillbilly from Little Mud, Kentucky, the most backwards place in America. That is a fact. And I tell you what, I couldn't lead any of those people to Christ without the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in my life and the Scriptures that that Spirit brings alive in people's lives so that they can understand the Scriptures and it burns in their heart and they can be saved. You might even be here tonight and you're lost. You're not saved yet. You've played around with it. You've heard it here in Sunday school, church. You've heard about it, but you might be lost. If you ask you, please, please, let the Scriptures begin to work in your heart. Let them work in your heart and receive the Christ of heaven, the one that said, wait, hold it, wait,